locked in. I pick the pieces up and put them in my pocket.
Currently, right now, I'm in a dimly lit room in the back of World Cafe Live with Lady Lamb the Beekeeper. Hello. How
Hello.
Are you?
I'm very well.
It is kind of like an interrogation room. Like, I feel like I have very serious questions that I should be asking you, but I don't have anything serious to really ask you.
All right. Just joke questions.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, so much has changed for you this year because beginning of the year, Bird Balloons came out, and it wasn't, I don't even know if it was like an official single, but like a bunch of music blogs kind of had it out there. And then I knew immediately that I just wanted to know you in some way. And then there was all this anticipation for the album, and you could see, just being a friend of yours on Facebook, how everything goes from, oh, like 42 people like this thing that I post, and then the album comes out, it's like, oh, 700 people like this thing I post. What is that like when it's, you know, you get the first taste of it, and then it just kind of explodes, or at least it feels from the outside looking in like that's what happened this year?
You know, honestly, from where I'm sitting, I feel like the progression has been very natural. I don't personally feel like anything has exploded. I feel like it's been a very slow and steady road. I think that absolutely since this record has come out, more people at once are discovering me than ever before. And I think that, you know, has a lot to do with finally putting it out on a label and having help and a publicist and that kind of thing. And I'm lucky that I have helped to have it, you know, spread a little wider. But I feel like it's been a long road getting to here.
Right. And I'm sure for everybody else, you're like, I've been doing this for a long, long time.
Yeah, about 6 years. But it's exactly the pace that I wanted. It was, you know, completely intentional that I work at this speed, and that I waited so long to go into the studio and waited till I just felt that it was the right situation for me. Because I'm just all about, you know, making sure that it feels right and natural and just at the right time.
You have this really interesting origin story that I feel will forever be attached to you, this idea of being in the back of the video store and playing the songs and then, you know, going from Maine and going down to Brooklyn and doing all of that. When you worked at the video store, first of all, was there a movie that you were particularly fond of at the time?
There were a lot, because I was feeling inspired in every area of my life, and so just working at the video store, I mean, we had 20,000 titles. We had anything and everything you could ever want or had never heard of. And I was working with six or seven people. It was a close-knit group, and people that were huge film buffs and lovers of movies. And so everyone was excited to recommend things to me. And you know, when I started renting there when I was 14, so we had little recommend stickers on all the movies, and I found that I really liked the movies that the boss recommended. So he and I had a little friendship where we would talk about the movies that I rented, and he would recommend more. And so I think from an early age I was being I was opened up to all these different genres. And then of course working there, when I'm seeing the movies every day and seeing what people are renting and reminded of things that, oh yeah, I should take that home. And I definitely took advantage of that. So there was a lot of stuff, but the one that I was most moved by at the time was Paris, Texas, okay, which I hadn't seen before, which is a 1984 movie by this German director, Wim Wenders. And I can't describe the plot because it's pretty complex, but it has a lot to do with family and like sibling relationships and mother-child relationships. And it takes place mostly in Texas, and it's beautifully shot and so emotional. And like, I still to this day, I watch it like at least twice a year, and I'm moved every time I see it.
Did you have like a Ally's Picks shelf?
Where I did.
You would, yeah.
Yeah, I did. And they let me keep it up for a little bit after I left.
Oh, like an alumni show.
Yeah, and now my little 17-year-old brother works there, and he took over my row.
That's
so
great.
He
How
has
cool
a
pick
shelf now. Yeah,
that's awesome. But there, it's funny. Like it's been tough to read about you this year and not hear that story.
Yeah,
like, I think it feels like that's forever. At least now in the infancy of it.
I'm actually completely fine with that because I feel very attached to that time in my life, and that was a monumental time. I mean, I worked there for 4 years. I mean, so the fact that is my origin story, I mean, it just simply is. Like, that was where I spent all the years I would have been in college, I was in the basement renting videos and watching movies and playing music. And that was my entire life. I was there for an 8-hour shift and then at least 5 or 6 hours afterwards. So I lived there, you know. It's true.
It's cool, though. I mean, it's kind of like a superhero thing. Like, not everybody has that. Not everybody has an origin story.
I was very lucky to have that space.
It's cool, too. I mean, that part, I don't know exactly where in Maine you're from, but I have spent a lot of time there and had known people that live in Portland. And it's so funny. There's two different worlds when it comes to Maine. Like, I thought Portland and just that surrounding area is completely different than other parts of Maine, which are the parts that you think of, the stereotypical parts where there's just lobster everywhere.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's a bunch of fishermen. And but you were close to Portland, or at least played Portland a lot.
I'm from a town 20 minutes north of Portland, okay. Brunswick,
okay.
Which is a little coastal college town. Bowdoin College is there. And I lived in Portland for a year and a half. That's southern Maine, which is certainly different than central or northern Maine. It definitely has its lobster and fishermen, but not, you know, not as stereotypically as other parts, for sure.
Did you have your own Mainer impression? Because I feel like everyone from that part of Maine has an impression of somebody else from the other parts of Maine that they talk about.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little one. Basically, I would just, like, if we talk about Mainers, we say, like, want to go get a beer, bub? they call each other bub a lot there.
Yeah. That's awesome. Hey, I want to read something. I saw this today. I thought this was interesting, and I wanted to see if you agreed with this. It was actually on the website for this show tonight, kind of the little blurb about you and about the album. And I hadn't ever thought about it this way. But it talks about the album and says, finally, there's a recording of Ladyland that comes as close as possible to conveying the intense majesty of her live shows. And much like her performance live, a narrative breathes through the record's progression. The album opens with urgency and anger, settles into reconciliation and reciprocation, and ultimately reaches towards resolution, realizing infatuation leads to a loss of self. Instead, embracing one's own strength is the most powerful thing of all. Do you agree with that? I had never thought about putting it that way.
It's a very intense way of putting it, but yes. I mean, that's a lot of words for...
Had you heard that before?
Yeah, I'd seen that written around. I mean, I think that the... What part would you like me to address? I mean, there's two parts to that. I guess the first part was that the record has the rawness of the live show.
Right.
And then the second part being that about the record's progression, like
the
themes of the record.
Like I've listened to the record a lot, and I didn't until today after I read that and I listened to it. I never thought of it of almost like a story of a beginning, middle, and ending.
Yeah,
to it.
You know, when I think about it, I don't know that there's really a middle, but I think that there's certainly an end in my mind. I mean, a lot of the record is very palpable. It's very emotional and demanding, and the voice in the songs is essentially asking someone, "Why aren't you giving me what I want?"
Right.
But the conclusion to the record is the realization that all the things that you may think you need from someone else, you could have given yourself. And that takes so long to come to terms with, I think. Like, I think that's a natural thing that a lot of people go through in relationships. And, you know, at the end, after you have clarity and you have space from it and you've grown, you understand that you're happier now. And it's probably because you are making yourself happy.
Sure.
Like, and, you know, you don't need someone else to give you the things you need. And I think that is where I was when I wrote the album. And the last song, Taxidermist, has a lot of lines that allude to that.
Now, is that, you say that's where you were, is that something that's born out of a real experience, or is it more abstract?
Yeah, a lot of it's real experience. Of course, it's, you know, it's poetry, so it's a lot of it's metaphor. And a lot of things, honestly, a lot of themes are woven in that are from dreams or from things I heard on the street or... It's not autobiographical per se, but where I was in my life when I wrote it was from a place of being young and very tender and very dramatic, you know.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that because I've read about the dreams thing before and about the dreams journal, and that's actually where the name Lady Lamb, the beekeeper, comes from,
mm-hmm.
right? How do you make sense of weaving those two things? So I would imagine that's tough. You know, these real experiences and real things that you're going through with these kind of more abstract dream things, and how do you make sense to mesh that together?
Yeah, the way that happens pretty naturally, I think, is that the way that I would write a lot would be by writing streams of consciousness. So when you do that, you start with a connected brain. You know, you start writing, and it may be about your day, or about your life, or about things that you're consciously thinking. And the more you write, the more freehand and the longer it gets, the more you disconnect with the present time, I think, and the more metaphorical and strange it gets, and the deeper. It's kind of like hypnosis in a way. You know, your hand just goes. You just write. And the point is to not stop and not think about what you're writing. Like, you essentially are writing anything that comes to your mind, no matter what it is, and that means that you're cutting off phrases, you're not finishing sentences, words are getting thrown into the middle of sentences that don't make sense. And I've done that a lot, and it's so intriguing because you when you're done, you know, you may have like 6 pages of this handwritten, scrawled out thing, and it's crazy. And it's coming from somewhere in you, but it's a little more abstract.
Right.
And what's interesting about that too is that alliterations come in, like I said, metaphors come in, colors and dreams and visions, and I think anyone that's done it can say that it's an odd way of writing that's very interesting, and anyone can do it. You just disconnect. That's the key.
I would think, I mean, I know just for me in my own personal experience, when you go through something and you just open up and you just write, mm-hmm. like even if it's a letter to yourself or a letter to the person that you're thinking about, and then it feels cathartic because it's on paper and it's not just living in your mm-hmm. head anymore. So would you say that beyond even writing songs, like it feels like a good practice just to be in?
It is. It's a great practice. I've been doing that for years, and I'm always intrigued with what comes of it.
In the time since the video store, have you kept up with film? Are you still a film person?
Yes, but not as much because I don't have I don't have that luxury anymore of having like thousands of movies at my fingertips for free. And
you should go back and work at a video store.
I know. I you know, it's funny, when I first moved to Brooklyn, I would see them around, like independent stores, and flip and just go in and just like, I was so excited that they were there, because I'd heard this myth that they were all gone, that independent stores were just completely gone. So when I see one in Brooklyn, I get so excited, and I go in and I just like talk to the people, and I just basically gush and say, I'm so happy you're here. And they're all very they don't get that a lot.
They're like, dude, I worked at a video store.
And there's one in near my apartment that I saw, and I remember I was walking towards it one day, and I saw the sign before I reached it. And this was like a year ago when I didn't have tours really yet. I knew I was leaving in a couple months. And it wasn't that I was desperate for a job, but it was that I was desperate to be back in a video store. So I approached the store, and I thought to myself, they're not going to ever hire. They're not hiring. There's no way. These little places, they have their 6 people that work there, and that's it.
Right.
And I looked, and it said help wanted on the door, and my heart just sank, and I was so excited, and I wanted to apply, but I knew that I couldn't. I knew that I would have to leave town.
Right. Well, maybe that's the thing for the next leg of the tour, is there's some kind of promotion where you just go and work at a video store every city you stop in.
I would do that. I don't know what it is. I'm a weirdo. I just thoroughly enjoy it.
No, I think that's awesome. I don't think that's weird at all. I think that's cool that's...
You get to talk to people about movies all day. You know, it's fun. I love movies. It's, you know.
I'm going to let you drink your tea and do your thing, but it's exciting to see you tonight.
Thank
and thank you for coming to Philadelphia.
Oh, I'm happy to be here. I love it here.
When you left.